This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, 17 minutes past 7 in the morning. In about half an hour, we'll be talking to Yap Lip Seng, the chief executive of the Malaysian Association of Hotels. And very much in the same vein, on Twitter right now, BFM is asking listeners, what's your preferred type of accommodation when travelling during the pandemic? There are four choices: hotels, home sharing like Airbnb, others will tell us. And the fourth option is I'm not travelling. So you've got at least an hour left to vote. Okay, but in the meantime, Shaoning, let's talk about PAS. Because right now we've been following Sabah state elections very closely this past few weeks. But there's been one party that's been largely absent from all activity and news flow, and that is PAS.
Yeah, because, well, last week, some of us might have missed it, PAS actually had its annual Congress known as Muktamar. This year, the Congress revolves around the theme of Islam to strengthen unity. But more crucially, it also addresses PAS's future given its new allies, Perikatan Nasional and Muafakat Nasional. PAS President Dato Sri Abdul Hadi Awang said that he was confident that the party would continue to dominate in three Malay belt states, namely Kelantan, Terengganu and Kedah, where it currently forms the state government.
Okay, so for a view on PAS via the Sabah elections and its cooperation with its allies, this morning we're talking to Adib Zalkapli, Director of Bab Group Asia. Adib, thank you for talking to us. Now, as we know, PAS is not contesting in Sabah, so the party leaders claim it is yielding to its allies to give them the best chance of winning. What do you make of this decision?
Thank you, Chuang. PAS is a non-entity in Sabah. It's an Islamist party with objectives that are not popular with local electorates. So in a way, the party is a liability to its allies in Muafakat and in Perikatan. So by not contesting any seats in Sabah, PAS is actually helping its allies. So if PAS had contested in any seat, I guess its allies would be distracted by allegations of bringing peninsula-style Islamist politics. And I also suspect some of its local allies in both Barisan and Perikatan are personally opposed to having PAS in the state due to the history of Sabah, where the local communities are strongly attached to the church.
And looking at the recent Congress, the past Congress, were there any observations you think which are interesting and we should notice a little bit more about?
I think one is on the Hadi's revelation on the seat allocation negotiations. I think, like you pointed out earlier, I think Hadi made it clear they will PAS will continue to be the dominant party in the north, in Kedah, Terengganu, and Kelantan. I think he also said very interesting thing that even if they don't contest in many seats, I'm assuming of the multiracial seats, Hadi said the PAS will continue to be part of the government. So it's a strategic move by PAS, and that alone, I think that statement alone shows like PAS's ambition is just to be part of the state, be part of the federal government without having to contest in outside of its comfort zone.
Yeah, the ratio that PAS has been reported as saying is that 50% of seat allocations have been resolved, Adib. But do we know what compromises or even promises that would have been sought by both sides in this important process?
It could be just a rhetoric, party congress, annual congress is where party leaders come out to say things to appease their party members. Seat allocation negotiations are very complicated, so we can only know on nomination day if they have been resolved. But I think we can speculate that it's very likely that I think as Hadi Awang said, they are allocated most of the seats in its traditional strongholds in the three Malay states. When its allies focus on the more multiracial states. And I think another compromise would be to let PAS contest in as many state seats nationwide, while its allies are allocated parliamentary seats. I think because we've seen this formula being accepted by PAS previously when it was part of the opposition Pakatan Rakyat coalition.
And if we take a look at the party more broadly, right, there has been a drop in the number of recruits this year compared to 2019. Now, PAS says that it's due to COVID-19, but do you think this party splinters are the reason for the drop, or perhaps that the party's direction is not resonating with people?
Well, COVID-19, I think it has certainly prevented PAS from holding mass rallies. You know, the ceramah where the party usually holds a recruitment drive and accept membership applications from prominent local personalities where these rallies are held. So it could be one reason why there's been a drop in the number of new members. Another possible reason is that in recent years, I think you would notice that the ideological gap between PAS and UMNO has narrowed significantly. I mean, there's not much difference between UMNO and PAS. UMNO in the last 5, 6, maybe 10 years has not explicitly opposed PAS's Sharia ambition. So in a way, PAS is no longer unique in that sense. I think it has lost its unique selling point. So those who are inclined to support stronger Sharia-based legislation would be welcome in UMNO in the same they are in the same way they are accepted in PAS.
Do you therefore think, Adib, that membership at UMNO has benefited as a result of their of PAS's loss of uniqueness in a way? You become more ubiquitous.
Yeah, I mean, UMNO in a way as in the past it was fighting on two battlefronts, right? One is against PAS in the more traditional, in the Malay heartland, in the three states mentioned earlier. And also they were fighting the more multiracial opposition coalition in its various forms, from Perikatan, and then before that there were Barisan Alternative. So I think UMNO has benefited in a way by closing one battlefront, by embracing, I think, PAS's Islamic ideology and focus its energy solely on fighting the opposition coalition. Right now, it's Pakatan Harapan.
And Adib, I want to bring this conversation to GE15 because PAS is very well known for its party machinery and its work on the ground. How important do you think it will be this time? And does PAS still resonate with let's say, the rural parts of Malaysia?
Yeah, I mean, PAS machinery, it's well organized. I think it's PAS probably has the second best machinery after UMNO. And it's very important in rural areas, especially to show presence, with house-to-house visits and also in holding rallies, small rallies, small campaign stops. Yes, I mean, it's still, PAS is very much a rural party. I mean, it's strongholds are, I think, three rural states in Malaysia. They're not accepted in East Malaysia, I mentioned earlier. So yeah, it's still very important. Will still play an important role in the next general election.
But of course, a lot of politics now happens on social media. Do we know how effective PAS is in managing their online presence, and who have they managed to appeal to?
PAS leaders and I think activists are present prominently on various social media channels. But just as you pointed out, I think they speak largely to their audience, their hardcore supporters, and not to those outside their echo chamber. I guess that's the nature of social media. People tend to preach to the converted. But if you want to benchmark PAS against other successful Malay Muslim social media channels, again, I think PAS is definitely way behind our former Prime Minister Najib Razak, who has, I think, significantly improved his social media presence or engagements by defending his administration. And also by what you call trolling the Pakatan Harapan government back then. And until today, he continues to troll the Pakatan Harapan leaders. So yeah, PAS in a way is, on social media, it's preaching to the converted, and I think it's way behind the more successful Malay Muslim channels like Najib Razak.
Okay, thanks so much for your time, Adib. That was Adib Zalkapli, a director of the Asia-Pacific Strategy Advisory, Strategic Advisory Firm, Bible Group Asia. I think his last point on social media and the messaging on social media is so important nowadays because that's how everybody is communicating. You know, your Facebook, your WhatsApps, and even your Telegrams of this world.
Yeah, even TikTok.
Even TikTok, right?
Yeah, the fight has gone on to every social media platform.
And yeah, perhaps what is also interesting is I'm still very interested to see what the groundswell of opinion is for a unified UMNO PAS pairing, because obviously that they've become a little bit more aligned in their conservative stance, and I'm not sure whether that's necessary. Going to take Malaysia into the 21st century, but it is what it is. Okay, 28 minutes past 7. We'll come back after this with a 7:30 news bulletin. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.